Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2442, with the release date of Friday, August 16th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. ISS astronauts await their delayed ride home in 2025. Longwave radio comes to the Arctic Circle. And hams welcome the return of the call sign of a beloved silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2442 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week on the International Space Station, where one amateur radio operator and her fellow crew member are still waiting for a much-delayed trip back home to Earth. Cell MB KB3TZD updates us on the fate of that flight.
Boeing's troubled Starliner CST-100 will not be returning home from the International Space Station with astronauts Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, and Butch Wilmore on board. NASA instead hopes to book a return flight to Earth for them on the next Crew Dragon in February 2025. According to a NASA press release, the space agency will delay the August 18th launch of SpaceX Crew 9 mission until September 24th and make room for the duo on its return flight in 2025. That would mean sending two astronauts to the ISS in September instead of four. The two U.S. astronauts have been in space since the June 5th launch of the Starliner, which has suffered a series of technical issues, including five helium leaks. Their mission was to have lasted 8 days. A number of media outlets have reported internal strife at NASA as officials cannot reach an agreement in the meantime on how to handle the stranded, disabled Boeing spacecraft and whether it can ultimately return to spaceflight. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
There's still time to participate in ongoing research by the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska. Be listening on August 18 through the 20th on frequencies between 2.8 and 10 megahertz and log your reception reports. The experiments support work by the Polar Aeronomy and Radio Science Summer School, whose studies include the generation and propagation of extremely low-frequency, very low-frequency waves. The address for sending your reports can be found in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. Hams in India are being asked to give input on new license rules being proposed. We have more on that from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Radio amateurs in India are facing a deadline of the 24th of August to submit feedback on new amateur radio rules being proposed by the Ministry of Communications, Department of Telecommunications. The changes relate specifically to the Amateur Station Operator Certificate. A certificate would become mandatory for anyone who wishes to operate or even install ham radio equipment and would be assigned under two categories, restricted and general, defined by operating privileges. The government is also proposing the elimination of a separate authorization for the import of ham radio equipment. Finally, candidates for the certificate will be required to apply to sit for the exam at least 1 month before it's given. The government has released a draft of these and related changes, publishing them in the Gazette in July. Feedback and suggestions should be sent directly to the Joint Secretary of the Department of Telecommunications in New Delhi. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
A brand new 100-kilowatt transmitter began sending its signals across the Pacific this month as Radio New Zealand entered a new era of commitment to serving its shortwave listeners. Jim Meachin's ZL2BHF has that report.
As one of two nations still providing the Pacific region with shortwave radio service, Radio New Zealand has replaced its 33-year-old transmitter in the central North Island with a new one capable of DRM digital and analog operation. The move is part of the public broadcaster's $4.4 million investment in facilities improvements. New Zealand's Foreign Affairs Minister, Winston Peters, was quoted by the Radio World website as affirming the vital role shortwave still plays since the service was launched in 1948. He said, quote, "Shortwave is the most certain system there is to make sure that in a crisis, tsunami or cyclone, we can get through," end quote. The minister marked inauguration of the transmitter along with dignitaries from the shortwave service area, which includes the Cook Islands, Samoa, Fiji, Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands. There are 22 broadcast partners throughout the region using RNZ's DRM digital streams by rebroadcasting them locally without compromising audio quality. Following Australia's shutdown of its shortwave transmitters in 2017, New Zealand and China have become the only two providing the region with shortwave services. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
On the other side of the spectrum, the decline of long-wave radio may be a little bit overstated. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with word of a long-wave radio startup.
Radio listeners tuning to 252 kHz may soon be enjoying some long-range DXing, as Arctic 252, the new broadcast station on that frequency, begins testing in September. The Finnish-based station is hoping to serve listeners throughout the Arctic region. It is possible, too, that anyone with a long-wave radio receiver might be able to hear some of its signals in the northernmost parts of North America. According to Hackaday, the website reporting this story, the same frequency is used by an Algerian station in North Africa, and it was formerly used by an Irish station as well as Finland's own YLE longwave broadcaster, although both have long since gone off the air. The broadcaster says on its website, arcticradio.net, that it hopes for a clear channel allocation by the ITU. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the United States, the FCC has put out a request for public comment on a petition by a Virginia-based business to have the 900 megahertz band reconfigured and new rules adopted. The company, NextNav, specializes in geolocation, navigation, timing, and positioning services. NextNav asked the FCC last April for rules to permit the band's use for backup to GPS and to have 15 megahertz of the spectrum allocated for mobile broadband. Since 1995, location and monitoring services have been allocated use of the band between 902 and 928 megahertz. They share primary user status with industrial, scientific, and medical users as well as government. Amateur radio and unlicensed FCC Part 15 devices are secondary users. The FCC is seeking comments no later than the 5th of September. Hams are being encouraged to look at the petition and provide input on how amateur radio might be affected. Matt, K0LWS, explains the details in a podcast on his YouTube channel, where he has also posted links to the FCC documents and NextNav's petition. Follow the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. Hams chasing the birds have two new CubeSats to contact. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about them.
Welcome to Robusta 3A, French student-built CubeSat, launched in July by the European Space Agency, and Sonat 2, a German CubeSat that activated its APRS Digipeter earlier in this month. Sonat 2 was launched in March. Amateurs chasing Robusta have been advised to expect operating protocols and uplink frequency similar to the FalconSat 3 store and forwards system. Until its formal commissioning, Robusta 3A was to transmit short telemetry bursts on 436.750 MHz, the downlink coordinated by the IARU. Robusta's main mission is weather observation. It is the seventh satellite built on campus by students at the University of Montpellier and elsewhere. Meanwhile, plenty of activity has been reported on the APRS Digipeter aboard Sonat 2, whose mission has been to demonstrate the use of AI with autonomous payloads. The Digipeter operates intermittently and in half-duplex mode using the callsign DP0SNX. Its amateur radio payload has a central role in the educational mission of CubeSat, which is designed to serve mainly high school students. In addition to the Digipeter and CW beacon, the VHF transceiver is expected to provide SSTV downlinks on 145.880 MHz with images from optical sensors in the AI payload. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0 QXW repeater system in St. Louis, Missouri on 145.21 MHz, Mondays after the World Friendship Net beginning at 7 p.m. Central Time. Technical wireless officers and radio operators in the police wireless department in Gujarat, India, received some relevant lessons from amateur radio during a technology workshop held at training headquarters in Rajkot. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has the details.
For 3 hours, 25 attendees inside the police training center in Rajkot had their eyes open to applications from amateur radio that could assist communications in their law enforcement work. Led by Rajesh Vagadia, VU2EXP, the regional coordinator of AMSAT India and the Amateur Radio Society of India, the session covered the various modes and applications useful in both ham radio and police work. It included an overview of the different types of modulation and communication protocols, as well as the importance of SWR, power measurement, and the use of an antenna analyzer. Various types of equipment were on display, from telescopic antennas and dummy loads to an RTL-SDR dongle and CW paddle and keyer. There were demonstrations of digital communication, including sending text messages between two VHF radios and SSTV images between two local VHF stations. A report in the AMSAT News Service Bulletin proclaimed the session fruitful. The organisers hoped that the attendees had taken away some new approaches to enhance their productivity in police work. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Are you wishing you could compete in the big leagues at the World Radio Sport Team Championship in 2 years? There's a way you can plan for it now, and John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us how.
The next World Radio Sport Team Championship won't be happening until 2026, but the worldwide competition has already begun for radio amateurs looking to enter this high-level event as part of a sponsored team. Instead of being selected based on the WRTC qualification program based on results in major contests, prospective sponsored teams engage in competitive bidding in the hopes of securing a place as top bidder. Bidding begins at $20,000 and the sealed bid auction will have 2 rounds. Sponsored teams are considered an important funding source by WRTC organisers. Initial bids may be emailed until the 30th of April 2025 to finance@wrtc2026.org. The competitive element continues when the two winning teams get to the event venue in the east of England. Organisers say that sponsored teams are as eligible as any other entrants to win WRTC 2026. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, be listening for the special event call sign GB0MND, marking Merchant Navy Day on the 3rd of September. Operators will be on the air from the coastal town of South Shields in northeast England, operating on the HF bands using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. The activation recognizes merchant seafarers of the world and especially the British Merchant Navy. See QSL details on QRZ.com. Listen for Kari JQ7ELL operating from Tashiro Island, IOTA number AS206, as JQ7ELL/7 from the 31st of August through to the 1st of September. Kari will be on the HF bands and 6 meters using SSB and FT8, QSL through the Bureau only. Francesco, IK6QON, will be active from Milos Island, IOTA number EU067, using the call sign SV8/IK6QON from the 24th through to the 31st of August. He'll operate holiday style on HF, SSB, CW, and FT8. QSL via his home call, direct, or by the Bureau. Listen for special event station ES1924TE, which is on the air to celebrate the centenary of amateur radio in Estonia through to the 18th of August. See QRZ.com for QSL details. For any grieving family or community, one of the greatest sources of comfort can sometimes be found in keeping memories vibrant. When grief strikes in the amateur radio family, however, one of the best comforts is sometimes that person's call sign, especially this call sign. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, explains.
When he first went on the air a month ago with his newly reassigned call sign, Charlie Hartley was afraid that those hearing him would be startled. The last time that call sign, K9EID, was on the HF bands, it was the familiar on-air identity of his grandfather, Bob Heil. The popular, well-regarded audio engineer became a silent key in February, and the ham radio community was shaken. Bob also was the proud grandfather of grandson Charlie, who'd presented him with a surprise Christmas gift 2 months before Bob's passing. He announced that he had just received his ham license. On the K9EID page of QRZ.com, Charlie describes Bob, his mentor and inspiration, as, quote, an incredible man who changed the lives of many, end quote. Charlie, who upgraded to general in March, applied for Bob's call sign to be transferred to him. The surprise gift now belongs to Charlie, as the recipient of remarkable love and welcome from those who respond to his calls on 15 and 20 meters. Charlie told Newsline, quote, I've received nothing but positivity and heartwarming stories of how Bob touched their lives. Every story is unique, and I love to hear each and every one of them, end quote. It's been a healing experience for Charlie's two families, his personal family and his ham radio family. The bond between grandfather and grandson doesn't end there. The incoming sophomore at Webster University in St. Louis is busy with his studies for a career befitting the legacy of the original K9EID. Charlie told Newsline, quote, I'm studying audio engineering. It must be in my blood. Indeed. This is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
If a good day of amateur radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News Service, ArcticRadio.net, Ars Technica, Charlie Hartley, K9EID, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, 425DX News, FCC, Hackaday, Matt Kaskovich, K0LWS, NASA, QRZ.com, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, the WRTC, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.